If you have your Bibles this morning and you want to turn in your Bible to John chapter 6 or follow, I believe, on the screen, we're going to be looking and reading just several verses, beginning at verse 16. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. And when they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." And then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Father, we thank you so much that you reign. You reign in glory, you reign in majesty. And Father, that you would rule and reign in our hearts today, that we would allow you and give you preeminence in our lives, our homes, our church. And God, we just commit, Lord, this time to you. This is about you. This is your word to us. And I ask the Holy Spirit to direct every word I say. May you hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And we give you the thanks and praise for what you're going to do in our midst today. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. This morning, as you can tell by your bulletin, the simple question is, why be afraid? And in the last several weeks, we've been talking about, or taking a line, some lines, excuse me, from a song, "I Then Shall Live as One Who's Been Forgiven." I'll walk with joy to know my debt is paid. I know my name is clear before the Father. And the last line is, "I am his child, and now I am not afraid." And as we look at this, as we look at these verses, if you go back into the beginning of this chapter 6, the disciples and Jesus are part of a tremendous miracle. And they witnessed Jesus take a few loaves and a few fishes, bless it and multiply it, and feed 5,000 men. Now, there was more than just 5,000 men. When you figure wives, children, there could have been over 10,000 people. And so we see a miracle. We see the power of God manifested there. And I'm sure they marveled at that. But then immediately following that, they encountered a storm. They encountered a problem. Jesus was not in their midst. And if you go back and you read through the scriptures, and we find multiple times in the scripture where God did a miraculous thing, a mighty work, and then, but immediately following, or not long after that, people struggled. And sometimes we see what God has done in our lives. We experience the goodness of God, the mercy and love, the power of God in our lives, but then we encounter. I've told you, and I've said it many multiple times, that when we have a good service on Sunday, I'm skeptical and I'm aware of what may happen on Monday. Because it never fails. The enemy comes to attack. The enemy comes to destroy. The enemy comes to rob. And even sometimes later on in the week, there's just things that begin to develop and try to discourage us or distract us. But our God reigns. He reigns with authority. He reigns in majesty. Our God reigns and rules, and we can never forget that. But we see here Jesus coming to the disciples and just speaking words of comfort to them, not to be afraid. And there are many phobias that people deal with today, fears of all kinds. I don't know if any of you have any fear or not. Things that you just don't like. Things that maybe make your legs or knees hurt. You know, I've got a thing with heights. You know, I watch a commercial on TV with a truck backing up to a large cliff. My knees start to hurt. Anybody else? Nobody? God, oh, there's one back there. Thank you, sister. You know, snakes. I'm not a fan of snakes. Anybody like snakes? You draw the line with snakes. Amen. And now back to this height thing. I remember it was back in 92 when Pastor Benner was about to leave and go to Van Leer. I was about to leave and go to South Mountain in Shippensburg. And there was general conference, and it was in Canada. And so we rode together to conference. And since he's ministered there, he was familiar with places in Canada to go visit. And we went sightseeing when we had some, you know, open time. And he took me to a place up there. I don't even remember the name of it or even where it was, but I know it was a large gorge. And across that gorge was a cable. And on that cable, there was a cable car that went across. And we stood there and looked at that thing, and my legs started to hurt. And he had the nerve to ask me, "You want to get on and ride it across?" I said, "Not on your life am I going to cross on that thing." So I didn't. But there's all kinds of phobias and fears. And if some of you don't remember, you may have heard it, but in FDR's inaugural speech back during the Great Depression, he made a statement that, and maybe you've heard it, maybe you can finish it, but he said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." So, you know, there is a word for the fear of fear. It is phobophobia. It looks, you know, the fear of fear. But when we come down to it, some of the most comforting and encouraging words ever spoke to the disciples is found right here in the scripture that we read. And they were spoken to Jesus, to the disciples by Jesus. "Fear not, it is I. Don't be afraid." Can you just imagine for a moment the tone in which Jesus said that? You know, there is such comfort and reassurance to children that run to their parents in time of fright or fear, in time of uncertainty. And there is just a calm and a blessing and a reassurance as mother and dad or one or the other or both of them say, "Son, daughter," call them by name, whatever, "Bobby, Susie, everything's going to be okay." And what does that child believe? Everything's going to be okay. There's not in a scolding tone. It's not in a high-pitched tone. It's in a tone that Jesus simply says, "Do not be afraid. It is I. Do not fear." These words provide the same comfort and strength and encouragement to us today. It's reassurance to us. We read it. How many times do we read throughout the Gospels, the New Testament, the Old Testament, those words, "Fear not, fear not, fear not"? It must be important. It must be something that we as believers and followers of God need to hear, need to be encouraged with, need to be reassured about. Don't be afraid. Even though things seem and appear to be uncertain. The acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real. Things may appear to be real, but actually they're not. But we get caught up into that fear, that time of uncertainty, and we really don't know what to do. But Jesus simply says, "Don't be afraid. I got you. I got your back. Don't be afraid." We the Kingdom sings a song called Miracle Power. And in that song it says, "I may not know what a day may bring, but I know who brings the day. I may not know what a day may bring, but I am confident I know who brings the day. I belong, you belong to a loving Father. You belong to a God, to a Father, to a friend that will never walk away from you." Has a friend ever walked away from you? We had some dear friends years ago that said, "Well, if that's what you're going to do, we're not friends any longer. And that kind of struck me. If our friendship was just based upon that one thing, it really wasn't a friendship. But God is a loving Father. God is a loving God, and He will never leave nor forsake you. If we look at that word fear, it's defined two different ways. One primarily is an emotion of alarm and agitation caused by the expectation or realization of danger. Secondly, it can mean, or does mean, extreme reverence or awe as toward a supreme power. An anticipation or expectation of danger, or the other side is we're just in reverence or respect of some supreme power. We can identify that first definition as a weapon that the enemy uses against you and me, as every person that determines and makes a decision to follow Jesus Christ. When you make that determination and when you make that commitment, you give your life over to Christ, to follow Him, to obey Him, to grow in Him, you get a target on your back. The devil will put it there. Again, he's out to rob, kill, and destroy. But fear is one of the most used weapons, along with discouragement, that the enemy will use. I remember when I was at South Mountain, there was a gentleman in the church, and he was very active, very faithful to the church. And they could just see in his countenance changing somewhat. And he approached me after church one Sunday. He says, "I need to talk to you. Can you talk to me?" I said, "Sure." We made a time where after he got off of work, we met him at the Lighthouse Restaurant. Remember when the Lighthouse Restaurant was there? We had just sit down for some coffee and a piece of pie. You know, a lot of things are talked over with a coffee and a piece of pie. Makes a good atmosphere, especially if it's coconut cream. Anyway, we started talking, and he began to open up, share his heart, and he said, just things are going on in his life, and he's becoming so discouraged. He's becoming so disappointed. He's discouraged. Things aren't happening in his life. And he was faithful, read his Bible. I know he prayed. I know he loved God, but he was going through a time of deep, dark discouragement. And he said, "I don't know what to do." He said, "I don't know whether to give up or what." And I truly believe the Holy Spirit led me to share with him out of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 and 36, that says, "Do not throw away your confidence." Don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. God gives us conditions, and when we meet those conditions, we can expect the blessings or benefits. I have to persevere. I can't throw away my confidence. Because I know I can go back in time after time in my mind and remember the times that God came through and answered prayer. And so we can't throw away our confidence. We can't lose our focus. We have to persevere, knowing that, again, when I meet the conditions that God has set and established, I can expect the blessings that God has promised. Fear can ruin us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Stress, fear, stress. We've heard that stress is probably one of the top five causes of physical problems, heart, whatever, high blood pressure. And all they simply tell you to do is deal with stress, get rid of your stress. How do I get rid of stress? See me after church and I won't charge you anything for it. But stress in the natural, stress on your work job. There could even be stress in church. No response.
Amen.
Amen. Fear can keep us from obeying God and fulfilling His will for our lives. Fear can keep you, it can keep me from obeying what we believe God is calling us to do and His will for our life. It will. We can imagine in our minds, you know, a small thing, but then it just develops and grows. And we freeze in our spiritual journey. I don't know if I want to do that. What if? There's that question that always comes up. What if I do that? Well, and nothing happens. Well, what if you do it and something does happen? What if I pray and God doesn't answer? Well, what if you pray and God does answer? But it's the what if. What if can cause you and me and the church to miss all that God has for you and me and His body? The what if question. Fear is a stronghold that likes to come and wrap its arms around our heart, our mind, to keep us bound from operating in the strength that we possess. Do you realize the Bible says, now this is not me saying this, this is what the Bible says, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave dwells in you. Amen. Realize that. You say, well, I don't feel it. Do you have to always feel something to know that it's there? You believe the word of God, the same power that raised Jesus from the grave, from the dead, dwells in you. That power is in the person of the Holy Spirit. And if you are born again, the Spirit of God indwells you, no matter what your brain may tell you. He indwells you. The Spirit of God is the power of God, and He dwells in you. So we don't have to worry. We don't have to be afraid. So what does God say about fear? What does God actually say about fear? Simply, He says, don't be afraid. Do not fear. And how can He, why should we believe that? Because He follows that with, for I am with you. Don't be afraid. Do not fear. For, because I'm with you. I am going to walk with you. I got your front, I got your back, I got your sides. I'm on top of you, I'm underneath of you. I got you surrounded. I am with you. He wants us to be filled with hope and trust, not fear. He wants us to be filled with hope and trust, not fear. Well, how does a believer follow Jesus Christ, a follower, excuse me, of Jesus Christ, counter or fight against this weapon that our enemy uses? How do we counter that? This is the enemy's weapon. Discouragement is another weapon. So these weapons that Satan uses against us to defeat us, to divide us, whatever. What weapons do we have that we can counter what he throws at us? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, he says, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Ephesians says, we don't, you know, our enemy is not flesh and blood. Your enemy is not the person in front of you, beside you, or back or behind you. That person is not your enemy. Our enemy is that one that we do not see. He's tricky, he's deceitful, but he's committed. He's determined. Are we as determined as he is? And he goes on to say, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. They're not a military, they're not bombs, they're not tanks, they're not machine guns, they're not that kind of weapon. But he says, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. The weapons that we have available to us as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, they're not just some power thing devised by man, but they have divine power. And they have the ability to demolish any and every stronghold. A stronghold is those things that stand in the way of your relationship with God and what He has created you to be. Whatever that stronghold may be, we have weapons that have divine power to demolish, to destroy that stronghold, so that you and I, the church, can walk and live in complete and absolute victory. Well, what are these weapons? They're very simple, and I have a few, and you may come up with more. But the first one is the Word of God. Jesus, in his severe test in the wilderness, not eating or drinking for 40 days, the enemy came, and his weapon that he fought back with, it is written. And so when you're attacked, or you're with fear or discouragement or any weapon that the enemy would come against you with, the first thing that we can do is, it is written. It is written. Are you truly saved? Have you ever had the thought, am I truly saved? Do you ever question your salvation? If that thought ever comes to you, it is written. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and I will confess with my mouth. I'm saved. I'm saved through grace, faith by grace. I may have that reversed, excuse me. But it's not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. So it's nothing that I do. I have to believe it. Prayer. Prayer is a weapon against those weapons that the enemy would come against us with. And maybe we need to pray more. The more you pray, maybe the more we'll see. The more you pray, the more we'll see. And I find it kind of ironic sometimes when you really commit to prayer, there will be all kinds of things begin to want to disrupt or distract you from prayer. Truly. If you determine that I'm going to pray, there will be all kinds of things that distract you from spending that time. And again, we need to be committed to prayer. And if God or a Holy Spirit ever leads you to fast, prayer and fasting. Nothing wrong with fasting, a meal a day or something. But we have to use these weapons that God has given us. And then faith, trust, belief in God. The Bible says if we don't stand in faith, we won't stand at all. What you believe. And again, what you believe will be tested at some time in your walk with God. It will be tested. Faith, praise and worship. Praise and worship. I praise God. I worship Him. And sad to say, sometimes worship, this idea of worship, divides some churches rather than brings them together. That's a fact. But we have to realize and understand, worship is not what I like or what you like. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. All glory to God. All the glory belongs to Him. And God said one thing. I just heard this very recently. God will share anything. God will share His Son with you. God will share His love with you. God will share the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven with you. That's when these things God will share with you. But God says, I will share my glory with no one. My glory belongs to me. And to him be all glory. That is what we, that is why or how we worship. We give glory back to him. Because he is worthy of glory. He is worthy of praise. We rely on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. Not just some mystical person that floats around, but that dynamic person, third person of the Trinity, dwells in you. That's amazing. That's encouraging. Secondly, the second meaning and definition is extreme reverence or awe toward a supreme power. There is no greater power than the Lord God Almighty. No greater power than the Lord God Almighty. No matter what we, our minds can think of, there's no greater power than the Lord God Almighty. And a question is, I ask myself, are we losing that reverence and respect for God? Or have we lost it? Are we losing our respect and reverence for God? Or have we lost it? I hope not. I hope not in both cases. I hope we're not losing it. I hope we're not have lost it. Well, we need to recognize who he is. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of giving of glory and honor. He is worthy to be exalted. That's a chorus we sing. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Do we stand in awe of him and recognize who he truly is? He is greater. He is creator. He is redeemer. He is defender. He is provider. He is healer. He is savior. He is friend. That we be in awe, we stand in awe of his holiness, his majesty, his glory. We stand in awe of that. He's worthy of it all. So why should we be afraid? Why should we allow fear to control or manipulate our lives? Being a follower, a believer of Jesus Christ, does not make us immune from the attacks of the devil. He does not make us immune from Satan's assaults against us. In Psalm 91, 9 and verses 9 and 10, out of the New Living Translation, it says, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No evil will conquer you. No fear, no discouragement will conquer you. Now, note, it does not say that it will not try. If fear and discouragement come knocking at your door or any other weapon that Satan would throw at you, we need to keep the door locked and do not open it. Paul says in Ephesians 4, don't give the devil a foothold. Don't give him access into your life, into your home, into any of your situations. Keep the door locked. I must do my part. I truly must do my part. And then I know, I believe, I trust that God will do his part. God promises that he will do that. In that refuge, in that shelter, we can say, I will not be afraid. God will stand with you. God will stand with me no matter what. God stood or showed up in the fiery furnace when the three Hebrew boys were given a decision or a choice. You either bow or you burn. And their words were saying, I know our God can deliver us, but if he doesn't, we're still not bowing. So into the furnace they went. But who showed up? What did the king say when he looked in there? He said, did we not throw three people in there? There is a fourth man walking around and he looks like the Son of God. Wow. We may not see God around us, but we can experience his presence. We can experience his peace. We can experience his joy. God showed up for those three guys. God showed up in the lion's den when Daniel was told, don't you dare pray to your God. Don't you dare pray. Daniel was a little defiant, wasn't he? He prayed. They tattletailed on him. King threw him into the lion's den. But you know what happened? The king couldn't sleep all that night. The king was a nervous wreck. He just couldn't sleep that night. And in the morning, he went and he's, Daniel, are you okay? I'm cool. Everything's fine in here. God showed up. God showed up at the Red Sea. You know, the percentage of them coming out of there was not too great. You know, it wasn't just, you know, that great of percentage of them coming out without being destroyed. Being destroyed or delivered. Naturally, you're toast. Pharaoh, the sea, mountains, caught. But who shows up? God. God shows up. God made a way. God really is a way maker. He made a way for them. He made a way for you and me. He made a way for you and me. The writer of the Hebrews, book of Hebrews, in chapter 13 says this, verses 5 and 6. He says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, catch this, and you may know what it says. But God has said, never will I leave you. What does never mean? Never. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we may say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? I can say with all confidence, God is my helper. And I know he will never forsake me. I know he will never leave me. I know he will never desert me. Therefore, I don't have to yield to fear. I don't have to yield to discouragement. If you are in those situations this morning that you're dealing with fear, you're dealing with discouragement. I don't know that. I don't know what you're dealing with this morning. But it's not important that I know it. God already knows it. God sees your heart. God sees the burden you're carrying. God sees the thing that you're struggling with. God sees what you're going through. And just because you may be going through something does not mean that God has taken his love from you. We have to persevere. We do not have to give up. But we can press in and know with all confidence, God is my helper. I'll not be afraid. Father, this morning, we are so grateful, God, for your presence this morning. Holy Spirit, for that one that may be battling discouragement or fear, or whatever weapon the enemy may be throwing at them. May they realize what your word just said. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. so that you may say with all confidence, the Lord is my helper. I'll not be afraid. And so, Father, I just pray this morning for that one that may be struggling with anything. God, that the Holy Spirit would draw them to you, open their eyes and ears and hearts to realize, God, that today could be that day to be set free from fear, the fear of tomorrow, the fear of today, the fear of such problem. I don't know. But God, I do know I don't have to be afraid because you're right here with me. It is I. Do not fear. We thank you this morning, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.